Good morning. This morning's passage comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So good morning again, GCC. It's a privilege to be back to bring God's word to you this morning. And today is the beginning of October. So you're probably, if you're a student, you're probably back in the swing of things in school. For some businesses, it's a new fiscal year, and it's a new fall season, right? Just back to the grind, and everything's probably familiar to you, and that's okay. But I want to bring to you a word this morning from Ephesians chapter 1. And this letter written by Paul to the churches in Ephesus may be familiar to you, but I hope this morning that it would come across fresh for your soul this morning, because nowhere else other than when Christians gather together on Sundays, when you are confronted with ultimate things, nowhere else when brothers and sisters in Christ gather together where you are confronted with spiritual things, both in heaven and on earth. There is a spiritual reality to your ordinary, familiar, day-to-day activities, bumper-to-bumper commutes, and relationships on earth that reflect the realities in heaven. So if today you are a follower of Christ, then you have every reason to praise God for your life on earth as it is in heaven. And the passage for today explains all this. The Apostle Paul explains to the church this reality in verse 3. God deserves all praise because God has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And it was God's plan from all along. You know, and I know, things aren't the way they're supposed to be. But Jesus is God's plan to set everything right. It's been kicked off and will be finished when the resurrected Christ, who rules and reigns in heaven, will finally and fully appear in public here on earth. And because of what Jesus did, God's people, you and me, we are set right. So the main takeaway for this morning's message is this, that you would live for Jesus Christ on earth as you are in heaven. Why? Because verse 4, Paul writes that God chose you in Christ before he created the world, so that when God looks at you, he sees you as holy or set apart. When God sees you, he sees you as blameless, as without fault. The rest of today's message is to try to unfold this one question. How is verse 4 possible? How does it work so that we can stand before him being God? Right? The answer, short and simple, your Sunday school always right answer, is Jesus Christ. As we try to track with the Apostle Paul's really, really long sentence today, we'll find out that the short and simple answer demands a simple response from you. And that is for you to live for Jesus Christ on earth as you are in heaven. It's all about Jesus. Jesus Christ the Son, Jesus Christ the Savior, and Jesus Christ the King. Jesus is all three of these things for us, and that makes all the difference for us as we are in heaven. So let's start with Jesus Christ the Son. Paul writes in verse 5 that he, God the Father, predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So the beloved here is Jesus. Jesus is whom God loves, and you read that in the Gospels. Jesus is loved by God the Father, and Jesus in turn wants us to experience that very same love. And you read this in the Gospel according to John, where Jesus prays this: "The glory that you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me." Jesus prays this. It's the prayer of the beloved Son of God, and he wants us to share the Father's love with him. So back to our question, right? How is verse 4 possible? How can sinners stand before him? How can we stand before a holy, righteous, good, and just God? The answer is by being adopted into Jesus Christ. God adopts you and me to be his children in Jesus. So listen to this part of verse 5 again. God the Father predestined us for adoption, and here's the prepositional phrase that's key here, to himself. Right? God's the one who does it. God's the one who loves Jesus, and through Jesus, God's the one who loves us and brings us before him and to himself. So think of it this way. Before God said, "Let there be light," he already had a family on his heart. So when our Father in heaven looks at us now, he doesn't see sinner, even though we continue to sin. And we'll talk about that later in point number 2. Instead, he sees sons and daughters, and God cares for us that way. This is who you are in heaven. He's committed to finish the work that he started. You know, for your children, this is what your desire is too, for you to grow up, for you to mature. And God's purpose is for us to grow up to be more like our eldest brother, Jesus Christ. And that's what it means to be truly human here on earth. So Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. All of us, the rest of us, are adopted. And it works, adoption works very similarly to the way it works now, as it did back in the day during the Greco-Roman times. To be adopted into the family means the same privileges as Jesus, the same inheritance as Jesus, and the same affections that God has for Jesus, God has for us. So adoption's one of the many spiritual blessings that you have, that I have in the heavenly places through Jesus Christ the Son. So how does this make a difference in how you live on earth as you are in heaven. To know and stand before God the Father, loved by Him, makes a huge difference in your life. Because the way it works, the way it happened, makes all the difference. God Himself adopted you to Himself to stand before Him. That means God doesn't just tolerate you, right? You're not like slightly annoying to God because of what you did the other day when you disobeyed God's intentions for how you ought to live on earth with your classmates, with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend, your spouse, coworkers, to the driver next to you on 66 or Fairfax County Parkway, right? It's not like, okay, right, the son that I really love, Jesus, since he died for you, I therefore have to put up with you to be in my family. Right? Instead, you are fully loved as an adopted child of God. So, does anyone know the Korean boy band group BTS? Anyone know about? Okay. All right. Well, apparently they're super famous, like all over the world. I didn't know about them until I saw in the news that they spoke at the United Nations General Assembly. Did you guys hear about this? Okay, I see some nods. Right. So they spoke. I think it was the leader, that one guy that spoke this message to the United Nations internationally. His message, like if you just break it down, it's like this. It's true love begins with loving yourself. Right? And it's a pretty positive message, right? They were even featured on Good Morning America. Right? They did like a group interview. You had all these like people cheering for them. And they also, of course, busted out their sweet dance moves. Right? So with this positive message, I think BTS, they know deep down what all of us want, right? What all of us long for deep down. And it's this. You want to be loved. Right? When you look around and you look at yourself, and then you realize, no one really knows me. No one really wants to know me. No one loves me. So then what do you do? Well, with BTS's message at the United Nations and I think their latest album, not quite sure, their answer to what it is you really long for starts with this, that true love starts with loving yourself. And I think it feels good when you hear the BTS guy say that with a smile through your screen, right? Whether that's your laptop or your phone. Right? But, and of course, the music and the choreography helps them too. Right? But it's not just BTS that has this message. A lot of music, a lot of songs in our day, right, in our culture, has this message that they try to sing to your heart. And that's this, that you don't need to listen to other people, listen to me or listen to us. You just need to love yourself. Follow your dreams. And don't let anyone else tell you not to. Does that sound familiar? But here's the thing. That's exactly the problem for why people are depressed, why so many kids these days are on antidepressants. Right? First of all, you have to like get this when you see a charming guy like the BTS leader say this to you. Right? It's not like BTS is going to quit touring and like stop making music and personally love you. Right? The message is actually very dark because basically you're just left up to yourself. Right? True love starts with loving yourself. Right? If you actually start doing that, you may actually see yourself clearly enough to try to take their advice. Now, here's the thing, right? The thing is, what do you see when you do that? So here's what happens. Here's what you see. You see both and. You see both that you're beautiful and ugly. You see both smart and ignorance. You don't know everything. You see both stuff that you're totally awesome at, right? And then, and stuff where your brain just locks up and stops working when you even think about it. For me, that's doing anything with my hands, fixing stuff, right? Thank God for my wife. You see both a genuine desire for relationships, and you see lust. You see envy. You're jealous of other people. So let me pause here for a sec. What do you see when you look at yourself? Okay, now let me tell you what the spiritual reality is. Let me tell you what the Bible has to say. You see both a human being, a good human being created beautifully in the image of God that's awfully broken. You see both Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2 talks about how humanity, human beings, were born into this world. But then right after chapter 2 is chapter 3, where it talks about the fall of humanity, right? How humanity, Adam and Eve, sinned, and how sin corrupted humanity, and how it fractured all the relationships. And the most important relationship that was broken is between humanity and their creator God. But God did it. He's the one, through the spiritual blessing of adoption, fixes that relationship through Jesus Christ, the beloved who loves you perfectly, not because you are perfect. So because Christians are united to Jesus Christ, God sees you as perfect. And this leads to our second point, that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Verse 7, Paul writes, "In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." We have every spiritual blessing in heaven because of what Jesus did on earth. So what did he do? He lived the holy life, set apart as God's obedient son. For the sake of people who aren't so lovable, he died on the cross for sinners like you and me. He died and he rose again. Coming out on the other side of death through his resurrection means that everything that Jesus said and did during his ministry on earth was true. And he did it perfectly. Jesus was blameless. What God had promised about the forgiveness of sins, the redemption, are true. Right? Redemption. Now, redemption means to be bought out from underneath slavery and into a life dedicated to God. Following Jesus in your day-to-day. In other words, you are set apart, holy. When your sins are forgiven, you are therefore then blameless. So back to our question that we're mulling over. How is verse 4 possible? How can sinners stand before him? This is how verse 4 is possible. Jesus Christ, the Savior, makes us holy and blameless before God. So chalk up a couple more spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Son, daughter, you are holy. You are forgiven. You are loved. And that's who you are in heaven. Everything that Jesus is, he is for you, when you are united to him by faith. And this is the gospel. The good news that everything that's wrong in this world, in heaven and on earth, will be set right, including and especially human beings. The first one's the pioneer, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. By identifying with him, following him, trusting him, and entrusting yourself to him as the way, the truth, and the life, you will find your true identity as a child of God, holy and blameless, the way God designed it to be. And if you're not a Christian here this morning and you don't know these blessings found in Jesus Christ, then it's no coincidence that you're here this morning. Consider this good news. You're encountering ultimate and spiritual truths for your life here on earth and when you die. So consider turning from finding your identity and even your morality and created things here on earth that will eventually pass away, including yourself and all of your achievements and accolades, and turn to Jesus Christ, the Savior. Now, are you a professing believer here today? Remember, we didn't read this morning in the passage, but later on, right afterwards, Paul says that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can't think of it other than you've been sealed with God himself, right? So therefore, what have you thought about or said or done here on earth inconsistent with who you are in heaven? Confess and repent and find forgiveness in God, your Father, through Jesus Christ, your Savior. And this will make all the difference how you live on earth as you are in heaven, because you stand secure knowing how God sees you, despite what you see when you look deep down and see the both and. What this means is that your salvation isn't earned. When it's God who does everything, salvation isn't earned. You don't climb any ladders up to God. God came down for us in Jesus. God sent down his Holy Spirit to us, and God meets us in bread and wine/grape juice when we have communion. We don't have to reach up to God. We don't have to get the good grades enough so that we can be pleasing to God. We don't need to do things to pad our spiritual resumes so we can have access to God and, quote unquote, get promoted, right? All of that is found in Jesus, right? God qualifies you. It's not of your own doing. So Grace Christian Church, salvation's all grace. And that's good news. Amen? Amen. Okay, so Jesus Christ, the Son, is the Savior. Because you're united to Jesus by faith, you're adopted, holy, blameless, set apart, loved. And being united to Jesus also means you live with a purpose. So listen to verse 9 and 10 again. Paul writes, "Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." With a plan, there's a purpose. And here's the plan. The crazy thing is that God would let us in on that plan. That at the right time, God will unite everything that exists on heaven and on earth. We will experience Jesus rule over everything as king. And that's our third point. For you to live your life here on earth as it is in heaven, following Jesus Christ, the King. Because the Gospel of Matthew tells us that all authority, right, all authority, where? In heaven and earth, has been given to Jesus, who has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ, the King. all of the fractured relationships because of Jesus, and how he's going to fix everything will be fixed. All of the brokenness you see on the news, and the brokenness and the harm, the sin that maybe you have experienced yourself, all of that will be fixed. It'll be restored. It'll be renewed. Different groups of people will be united together. Heaven and earth will be united. You'll eventually see with your very own renewed eyeballs, and no need by faith, that perfect love and justice is making all things right, all under Christ the King. When? In God's timing. We have to entrust ourselves to that. So, if the direction of all of history is headed towards that, let me ask you this. What then are your plans? If heaven and earth and everything in them will be united together, how then are you living your life on earth as it is in heaven? I think the rest of the letter to the Ephesians kind of unpacks all of that. How does the church live in light of verse 10? And here's the simple response that Jesus Christ, the Son, Savior, and King, demands: that you, church, live as one. I think Arthur prayed this too in his prayer, that we would all live in harmony. So therefore, do you have any outstanding beef with other Christians, with other members of Grace Christian Church? What about your spouse? Is the relationship with your parents like all messed up? Parents, have you given up on your children? Are you short-tempered with your boss that you don't respect? Leaders and managers, right? Do you abuse your position on the org chart just to get your way? How you answer those questions tells the story, whether or not you've been trying to build your own kingdom here on earth as it is in your broken and sinful heart. This is the spiritual exercise you need to do so that you can think in terms of heaven and earth. I know that's not like what we talk about typically on the other 6 days. That's why Sundays is where you have to be confronted with these things. So therefore, ask this question: whose kingdom are you trying to build here on earth? The ultimate spiritual will be on earth reality is that God's building his kingdom with King Jesus. The question is, are you trying to build your own kingdom? So it's kind of hard to discern that, but I have this kind of weird thing happened to me at work a couple days. So there were some new hires onto my team, and it's quite large. And one guy introduced me to these new guys, and he introduced me this way. He goes, I was totally unexpected. He goes, "Hey, this is Howard. He's the king." And like, I was totally caught off guard. And so I say, "Yep, I am a king, but doesn't it really depend on what I'm sovereign over?" You guys know what that word means, sovereign, right? So, like, it doesn't really matter if I'm king over a space like this small. I don't even have, citizens can't even live in that space. Right? So, like, even if I did have that space, I don't have absolute control, power, and authority over. So, yeah, you can call me the king. I think he was trying to flatter me or, like, I don't know. Like, I hope he doesn't reach out to me thinking I know everything, the new guy. So, like, I took that compliment, I guess, to think about, man, like, what would it be like to really have absolute control, authority, and power over? That's kind of scary, unless there are no citizens. But thank God that there's Jesus Christ, the King. And the point is, right, the point of sharing that, like, really somewhat, like, tangential story about me possibly being king is that deep down in my heart, based on how I respond to my wife when she says or does something that I disagree with, how do I respond? Do I respond in a way as if I am already king and I get angry, right, expecting that she would subject herself to my rule and authority. Right? What about at work? Right? All these examples are very ordinary day-to-day examples, because how you respond to things when they don't go your way, you can ask people around you to help you see. Don't ask BTS. Help. Ask people who actually know you for how you respond to when you don't get your way. Do you already assume that you have rights and power and control to get your way right away? As if like the Burger King message actually applies in this spiritual reality of heaven and earth that we live in. It's not easy to be confronted with who you really are. But thank God for grace, for Jesus Christ, the Son, the Savior, and the King. Now, after worship, you'll probably go and eat some lunch, maybe at the fellowship hall. You might head home and maybe catch a football game, you know, this afternoon or this evening. And then tomorrow, right? Tomorrow you have classes to go to, meetings to attend, deliverables to work towards, neighbors to say hi to, meals to have with your family, like ordinary, familiar stuff. Chances are what you do won't change a whole lot after today, but I pray that because you've been reminded of your spiritual blessings in Christ, that it'll change not just how you live your day-to-day here on earth as you are in heaven, but why? To make known to people around you the good news of God's love to us in Jesus Christ, the Son, Jesus' Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior, and Jesus Christ, the King. To God alone be the glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, you rule and reign in heaven with your obedient Son, the Son that you love, right there at your right hand. And Lord, we pray that you'd give us eyes to see, ears to hear, tender and sensitive hearts to follow you, loved, renewed, and redeemed, so that those around us will know the hope that we have in the gospel of your Son. Bless us today. Bless us in the days ahead as we plan and expect and long for the day in the fullness of time where you will make all things new. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.